السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The listeners of Radio Islam International, this is Aliya. Yet a very lengthy ulama profile. Ya Allah, how many ulama have we lost in the last month alone? And really, these are times whereby we need to be very, very careful. It is times of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warns us, لا يقبض العلم انتزاعا ولا يقبض العلم بقبض العلماء. When the knowledge will be taken away by the taking away of the ulama. And how many ulama have passed away, taking away experience, knowledge, piety, and the great worry that they have for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And wallah, respected listeners, each one of these ulama are special in their own way. And each one of them has done such amazing service of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that no matter how much of time or no matter how much of acknowledgement we give, it's never sufficient because they spend their entire life. And in 1 hour, we only acknowledge them hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overlook their shortcomings, reward them for all the amazing work that they had done. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let it perpetuate after they have passed away. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that the ummah is not left in more fitan and more problems and more difficulty post the demise of such great ulama. We have three ulama that we are profiling this evening. We start off with Hazrat Maulana Shabir Qazi, rahimahullah, in the first hour from now till Al-Fajr. And thereafter, we speak to about Mufti Yaqub Minti, rahimahullah. And thereafter, Hafiz Naeem Jibai Saab, rahimahullah. So it's a fairly lengthy ulama profile that we have. Even if we were given 5 hours, yet we would not be able to do justice given the ulama that have passed away. We have on the line now with us this evening Hafiz Dr. Yusuf Qazi, Damat Barakatuhum, the son of Hazrat Maulana Shabir Saab, rahimahullah. Afisab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hayu lana.
Alhamdulillah, very well. We are ever grateful that you've taken out some time to speak about your marhum and beloved father. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him the highest of highest age in Jannatul Firdaus.
Ameen, 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 inshallah.
Really, from the side of the radio, the Jamiatul Ulama, they knew him so well. They had such an informal relation with him. Our deepest condolences to your mother, your siblings, and the grandchildren as well.
Jazakallah so much.
Hazrat, in terms of Maulana Shabir Saab, give us a bit of a family history of Hazrat Maulana Shabir Qazi Saab, rahimahullah.
Yeah. Okay. So, first of all, my father, Maulana Shabir Qazi Saab, was born in 1957 on the 5th of February. Abba was born in the city of Durban on Field Street in town. He was the youngest brother of 7 brothers. Additionally, he had 1 older and 2 younger sisters. So it was in total, there was 10 of them. His father's name was Abdul Hamid Qazi. His mother's name was Ruqiyya Qazi, maiden name Ruqiyya Faqruddin. Abba came from a very humble beginning, from a very humble background. Together with his 9 siblings and his parents, they should all sleep together in one room. And his mother used to... very, very humble beginning. And his mother used to also cook in this room, and they should host guests also in this one room that they should all share. And they used to all share one bathroom and toilet facility amongst all of the siblings and the parents. And often my father should tell us of how his mother, whenever he used to talk about his mother, very soft, he should almost like come to tears when she talk about the sacrifice of his mother and what his mother went through during his life. So often he should tell us that his mother used to go to the marketplace and, you know, towards the closing hour of the marketplace, and she should go there and she should collect all of the scrap and, you know, whatever was left over from the day. She used to collect all of that, and then she should bring this home and she should clean this and take out sort of the rotten or sort of the part that was inedible, and then she should make a curry from this. So this is how she used to make a curry, and this is how she should make a meal. But he used to say that, you know, through this Qurbani and sacrifice, that the meal should come out absolutely delicious. And people should know her to be a great cook. And they should often frequent her house just because of how well she should cook.
Subhanallah.
So, alhamdulillah, then after this, then things got a little better. And then they moved into my father's grandfather's house, Sayyid Bawa Fakhruddin. And this is then where they stayed and where they grew up. So Abba, he completed his schooling. He was in Sastri College, and he completed his schooling in Sastri College. And during his matric year, this is when Abba did his HIFS course. And he, alhamdulillah, he managed to complete his HIFS course during matric in 11 months. And he did it under one sheikh from Cape Town. And then upon completion of his matric year, this is when Abba came out with Hazrat Baibadia Rahmatullah Ali. He came out, they went into Jamaat together. And from here, they made fikr. And a few of his colleagues of his, they made fikr. And this is when he decided to go to Tarkeshwar in India to start his Alim course.
Respected listeners, we are speaking about Hazrat Maulana Shabir Qadhi Sahib, Rahmatullahi Alayhi. We would like to have interaction from the listeners, those that knew him. The number to send us a message on is 071-878-9748. 071-878-9748, and inshallah we would like to read the messages of the listeners of Maulana Shabir Qadhi Sahib Rahimahullah inshallah. Abhisab, thereafter he studied in Tarkeshwar Madrasa Falahe Darain. I think he ran up to Al-Hidayah or Mishkat.
He studied 5 years in Tarkeshwar up till about 1975 in India. And then my Abba Morana went to Karachi, New Town. And this is where he completed his 2 years Alim course, and he did 1 year Qari course there in Karachi in Pakistan. So that is where he completed his studies.
In his tribute, Morana Bam speaks fondly about the final years that they studied together, which obviously we will thereafter listen from Morana Ibrahim Bam. When he comes on air. Abhisab, after he completed and he graduated, what did Abba do thereafter once he returned?
So after this, so during this time, Abba studied under Mulana Abdullah Kapudra, and during the time he was bay'at to Mulana Masihullah Sahib in Jalalabad. And he should always tell us, like, whenever he should get any off time, then they should go and should sit in the Khanka, they should spend time in the Khanka. He should love India and Pakistan. He should love because of the affiliation he had with the ulama there. And so this was during the course of his studies. And then approximately in about 1983, this is when he came back to South Africa. And in 1984, my father, Abba, got married. And this is when he started teaching in Darul Ulum Zakaria in Lens, Morana.
So I heard of those years of Darul Ulum Zakaria as well.
That's where he started his teaching. So he taught here, I think he taught here for 1 year. And then from there, he came to Durban. And then when he came to Durban, then he taught Hifz in Morana Magda, in Mona Magda's Madrasa. And together with this, he served in the Jamiat with Mona Yunus Patel Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, who was the president at that time, and Mona Umarji was also part of the Jamiat at that time. And Abba was very fond of Mona Yunus Patel, and he had a very close ta'alluq with Mona Yunus Patel. Very often, we should see Mona Yunus Patel come home. They should sit and they should talk. And even one time, I recall from my life, one time we just entered Madina Sharif and we were going to make our first salam. And I'm going with Abba, and we saw Mulana Yunus Patel, and he had all of his murids behind him. So in Mulana Yunus Patel, with his murids, they just finished make salam. Then they came out, he saw Abba. So he told all of them, just wait here. And then he grabbed Abba's hand and he took him to make salam with him. You know, just like sort of just to make salam with him. And they went, and that salam I will never forget for the rest of my life. Like, both of them were, when they're making salam, they were vibrating. They were like crying. And it was such I was quite small at that time, but still it's like, it's engraved in my memory. So he had a very strong taluk with Murali Yunus Patel. Then he also taught in Murali Yunus Patel's girls madrasa, Madrasa Solihat. And then also Abbas went to, when after this he went off to study in Riyadh. He went to study Arabic for 6 months. He came back, and then he, and throughout his life now, towards the latter part of his life, he used to do a lot of individual. He used to do a lot of individual khidmat. He served a little bit in for Darul Ihsan and Al Imdad, but mostly involved himself in individual charitable works. So, one second.
Let's ask you, how was Mawlana Shabir as a father to you?
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Let's
you know, Mawlana,
as a father, Allah. How was Mawlana Shabir?
I don't want to break down and cry. Last night, I'm sitting with my mother and I'm just gathering some points. And we came to the point, you know, of personal interaction. I think that's one of the points. And I just immediately just broke down into tears.
Oh,
yeah, it's unbelievable. If I could say it was like 100 fathers in one father. That was what Abba was. Mawlana, I mean, from before we wake up, he would phone me. Even after I got married, he would phone me Fajr time to wake me up for Fajr. And he, throughout the day, he would make sure, phone me so many times, 4 times, 5 times. He would send me messages, how are you bhai, salams, how are you bhai, anything I can do for you, how's your day going, anything. And if I had any problem, he'll advise me. He'll tell me, okay, no, do this. Okay, no, just overlook this. Don't worry about this. He was my strength, my pillar of support. He was there for everything. Honestly, and then during medical school, like 1 year, I had to go to Pietermaritzburg. Allahu Akbar, what he did and the lengths he went to. And this is not only for me, for all of the brothers and sisters, all of our siblings, not only us, even other people, extended family and all our aunties and uncles and even his friends. He'll go to extreme lengths, Mawlana, extreme lengths to make sure that we're okay. And this was, he would not sleep. He had constant fikr to make sure that everyone was okay. He just needed to know his happiness lied when everyone else was happy. When we as a family was together, then he was happy, you know. And he just made sure that we were okay. And he loved his children like under him. And my mother should always say he's like a, you know, like a hen who always wants the chicken, you know, under him. Yeah, that was him. He always wanted us together, close to him. And he just come and, you know, he just loved that day. And he was so protective. And hey, man, I can go on for days, but wallahi, he was something else. He spared no expense. He himself, he lived the most simple life. Himself, he drove the most simple car. His bed also, now after he passed on, then when we moved into his room to move in, to stay and to sort of be in, to be with the family, then that first night or the second night, I slept on his bed. And I realized then that my father, my entire life, made sure I had the best bed. Not only me, he would go to my sister's house, who is married now. He'll go and he'll feel all the beds there. And he'll make sure that every bed is top-notch and it's of the state of the art and the best range. But he himself, his bed was very uncomfortable. I couldn't sleep one night on this. I got back pains. And whenever we should tell him, Abba, why you don't change your bed? He said, leave my bed alone. Leave my bed. So he himself, now also when we're taking out all of his clothes, he only had one type of clothing. He used to just wear the kurta, the topi, and that white pants and a vest. Very, very simple. The cars he gave us, his smaller son, he gave us better cars than he drove, the more inferior car. And he gave all of us the best, but he himself, he just lived the most simple of life. And
the one quality thing in his life that he always ensured was he always used good quality attar.
Yeah.
His clothing was simple, but when he came in, you would know Mawlana Shabir has entered.
Well, what you're saying, you knocked the nail on the head. We were just looking at your stuff and all that. and we were looking, and he had, like I said, like very simple, but the one thing he had quality, Ma, you're right, he had good wood. He had the best wood and the most strongest of wood, Ma.
MashaAllah. I remember, I must say, the listeners, you know, we had the Southern African Ulama Conference hosted by Darul Ihsan, and he said, I was with Maulana Abbas Ali, Maulana Ayyub, and Maulana Abbas Tina. So he said, now, you know, in Israel, bring the elders to come to the house. Habisab, what a breakfast we had, subhanAllah. I must say, Allah Ta'ala bless your mother and Allah Ta'ala bless you. What a breakfast Morata gave us. Unbelievable, man. Sure. And I suppose hospitality is something that probably runs in your family, Habisab.
You know, we can say possibly it runs in the family, but Abba was on a different level. He brought everyone home, and he treated everyone on the same respect. So that what we should have weekly, so often, we should, many ulama should come here. Many poor people should come here. He should invite family members. He had this Sunday breakfast where he used to call all of his brothers and his nephew, and we'll all sit on the table. And this was such a lovely event, that Sunday morning breakfast. We all look forward to it because it brought the whole family together. So this hospitality, it was something that Ajib, man, he went out of his way to really make everyone feel very hospitable and to make everyone feel welcome and just show the utmost love to everyone.
I'm sure, respected listeners, if you have any messages or anything that you would like to share, the number is 071-878-9748. Inshallah, we would like to take some of your messages. We have quite a few guests online as well that will be coming online shortly, inshallah. And we will be taking their calls, and we will be speaking to them also, inshallah ta'ala. So let us send some of the messages and some of the stuff. If you want to, you can send a WhatsApp message, you can send the SMS as well. And inshallah, we will try and read your messages live on air. Another aspect of this hub that really I wasn't even aware of, I really until Walid Sahib rahmatullah alayhi passed away, was his amazing Taraweeh.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ya Allah. So Abba, his Taraweeh, he used to perform in, first it used to be at Hartley Road School, and he used to read three paras a night. Himself he used to read, and he should make a khatam within 10 days. And then later on he went on to Orient Islamic School, and then he read. But this entire thing comes back to the greater picture, his love for the Quran and his absolute dedication, commitment, and the love that he had for the Quran was undeniable, was inexplicable. Abba used to, just on the topic of Taraweeh, so he used to read 10 days. And after this first khatam, so three paras a night, then he used to go to his close friend, Uncle Ibrahim Umar Stahaya. He used to go there and used to make another khatam within 5 or 6 days, which comes to five paras a night. So he used to make two khatams, and then he used to leave for Umrah. So two khatams within the 15th or 16th night of Ramadan. And then from there, he used to leave for Umrah and spend the last 10 days in Makkah and Medina Sharif. And this was just, and during Ramadan, there wasn't a second or the way you could see him not reading. All the time in the car, even fairy time, he'll wake up early in the morning, 2 o'clock. Every day he wakes up 2:30. Every day on before Ramadan, after Ramadan, daily he used to wake up about 2 o'clock, 2:30, and that's when he starts his recitation of the Quran. Sometimes he'll finish up to 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning, but just constantly just reading the Quran. And he'll come to Seri time about 2 to 3 minutes before Seri. That's when he'll stop reading Quran, and then he'll partake in some Seri. And then he'll continue reading after that. Then he'll go rest for some while. Okay, then he might have had some work during the day. After that, after Zohar, just before Asar, he'll start reading Quran again. And then he'll continue until Isha Salah. Just constantly, wherever you see him walking, wherever you see him, he'll just be reading the Quran. So only Allah knows how many khatams he made during that time. And if you spoke to any of his close friends or anyone in the household from Rajab, the month of Rajab should come in. This is when he used to shut off everything else, and now he used to dedicate himself to the Quran and dedicate himself more than what he was before. So on a daily basis, he is reading so much of Quran. This in the morning from 2:30 sometimes till Fajr, sometimes till 7:00, 8:00. Then also on a daily basis between Asr and Maghrib, he'll be walking on the beach or he'll be walking in a masjid and he'll just be making door. He'll just be reading Quran. And even in the car, if he's sitting in the car, he'll be reading Quran. But beyond this Rajab and Shaban, this is when he just dedicated himself and just put his head down and read and read. And I think he used to like make a khatam in every 3 days. Like every 3 days he used to make one khatam. But man, the one thing that I think everyone who knew him, everyone who was affiliated with him, they knew that his love for the Quran was something else. And one is the recitation for the Quran, but the other is the other was his advice and how he used to like love the Quran, in the sense where when he used to talk or he used to advise people, he'll quote the Quran. So always when he talks, because alhamdulillah his door was so solid, he'll just quote one ayat of the Quran and he'll use that in his speech or he'll use that in his advice, you know. And many, many a time. So alhamdulillah, this was something that was absolutely phenomenal, something that we wish we can emulate in some way, in some small fraction.
Definitely. But the other thing, myself, you know, just because of Abbas' personality, that is why I'm sharing it to the listeners. He had a very unique style in wanting to tell you how to do something.
Very unique.
So in a sense that he'll tell you, just listen to me, I'm your elder and do this. You know, he had that style of saying that, you know what, sometimes he would phone me for something or he would tell me I needed to pick up. And I would say, listen to me, just do it like this, okay? Yeah. I suppose that was his style in the way he came across with the people he was informal with.
Yes. After he passed, you know, many people told me they came and they said the same thing. They said Abba enjoyed a very jovial, informal, you know, relationship where he used to say, you know, hey, just listen to me, yeah, you know, like I mean, not in an arrogant way or anything, but he'll say, you know, I'm a senior, just listen to me here. But he had that ajeeb way. I think Maulana Suleiman Rawat was explaining that one time he went to UK and how he met one of the ulama there and he got affiliated with him. Within one night, they were like bosom friends. And then Abba hosted him when he came back to South Africa. So he had this like ajeeb ability to connect to people, you know. And a lot of people loved him, respected him, and they used to come to him for advice, and he was so many people's pillar of support, moral support, emotional support. Abba was just something else, man. He was just...
Abhijab, what we're going to do, we're just going to take a quick break, inshallah. We're going to give you a bit of a breather, and inshallah, after we speak to Maulana Bam and Maulana Zahir, then we'll get you back on here, inshallah.
Okay. Jazakallah, man.
All right. We're going to just take a quick air break. And then after that, about 8:15, we'll get Hafizab back, inshallah.
Jazakallah,
Hafizab. Respected listeners, we are speaking to Hafiz, the son of Mazat Maulana Shabir Qadi, rahimahullah, who was truly an amazing person who supported so many organizations and so many of the ulama and so many of the things that were going. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Hazrat Maulana the highest of stages in Jannatul Firdaus. Those of us that knew him, those of us that interacted with him, share your experience. The number is 071-878-9748. It would be an honor for us to read those messages to the listeners, for those of you that had any of these interactions. It's a reminder as well that inshallah from 8:30 we speak about Mufti Yaqub Minti rahimahullah, and thereafter we speak of Hafiz Naeem. It's a jam-packed program. In fact, one of the ulama also sent me a message saying that, can you perhaps, one of the ulama from Cape Town that had passed away. I said, you know what, we have such a jam-packed program. It's going to be a bit challenging, but What we will do in the coming weeks, inshallah, we definitely would look at hosting one of the ulama that have passed away from there as well. So we take a quick nasheed break, inshallah. When we return, we'll carry on. We have on the line with us the Sabah al Muslim program, the anchor, Murana Suleiman Razak. Murana, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, Murana Ubaidullah Saab, and to all the listeners.
Sorry, Murana, we're having a small problem with the line, and there's a bit of a background noise. Nevertheless, one of the ulama kiram that had supported the Radio Islam, the Jamiatul Ulama, from the initial stages, and somebody that you've interacted with for some time, Morana, what are some of your feelings and some of your contributions to the life of Morana Shabir Sahib?
Let me start off by saying that I haven't been saddened upon the demise of someone like I have been saddened upon the demise of Hazrat Morana Shabir Sahib for a very, very long time. Morana had an indelible impression on my life in more ways than one, and Morana had become a mentor of sorts. My perspective in terms of the contribution this evening is a little bit different. I did not study with Maulana, nor was I a family relative. I met Maulana for the first time around 15 years ago. But what struck me, and it's one of the points I want to highlight tonight and I've highlighted previously, he was such a humble person that he was willing, even though he was a senior in age and in knowledge and in piety, he was always willing to come down and mix and socialize and interact with younger ulama for the sake of deen. And that is how my relationship with Maulana started. Of course, there were other aspects that came to the fore later on. For example, Maulana's ability to connect with people. It was amazing. I was just thinking earlier this afternoon when I was in the masjid that even at times when Maulana came here and I went with him for Salah to Nur Islam Masjid, he did not know the Musallis, he did not know the people, but within minutes he made a connection with the Imam, he made a connection with the Musallim, he started speaking, he started asking them about which family they were with, and people were drawn to him. He had that kind of magnetic effect. And the story that I shared, and which Hafizab also mentioned a few minutes ago, of when we were in England, and we met Sheikh Zahir, and that very night he ended up staying with Sheikh Zahir Mahmood, and by the next day they were like very close friends. And a few weeks later he hosted Sheikh Zahir and his colleagues in Durban. He insisted that he wanted to host them, and he wanted to make all the arrangements for their trip to Durban whilst they were in South Africa. Another thing which I noticed when we went for Hajj in 2011, it was a very last minute thing. It was a 10-day turnaround Hajj trip, 10 days from the time we left to the time we came back. Maulana was very resourceful. He was a very positive person. He was a very, he was a go-getter, as we would say in our terminology. From the time we landed at the airport, he was the one going, trying to make the arrangements, trying to see if we could go to Medina Munawwara, even though everyone was saying that, it's not possible, it's too close to Hajj, etc. And it's remarkable. Time does not allow me to go into the details of how resourceful he was. And I saw that many times later on, as I interacted with him. What will forever stay with me is how Maulana had this unique personality, where there was a lot of banter which was colorful, which was joyful, which was cheerful. You would look forward to Maulana's calls because the way he would interact with you, it was not formal, it was very informal, it was very, very kind of social, and the terminologies that he would use and the words he would use were words of endearment. It would bring a smile to your face. If you were having a hectic day, it would help you to de-stress. But then when things got serious, you would see another side of his personality, the piety, the deep wisdom and the experience. And you will also then see Maulana's very, very deep passion and fikr for the state of the ulama and for the state of the ummah. And that brings me to the point which you mentioned, Maulana, just as you introduced me, that around 2012, 2013, somewhere there, we had gone, to Durban, the leadership of Radio Islam, and we were exploring the prospect of starting a studio and an office in Durban. And we had a meeting, and Maulana was not the primary objective of that meeting. He just happened to be there. And after that meeting, he came to us on his own, and he said, "This must happen, and I will give you my full support." And together with the late Salih Mohammadi, Maulana Shabir Sahib was integral, and he was pivotal in ensuring that we got the project off the ground. He helped us to secure funding. He took us to donors, to advertisers. He helped us with the logistics. He would phone all the time. Sometimes I would wonder whether he had more fikr for the project than those of us that were actually employed by Radio Islam ourselves. And right till the end, you know, Moana would constantly inquire. He would go to the office. He would make an effort. And this was notwithstanding the fact that he was involved in so many other, you know, projects. He was not, in the latter part of his life, he was not really formally part of any one organization. But he was trying to help every other organization in whichever way he could. What I think for me was a great legacy and a great example that Maulana left was that he did not only care for the cause that you were involved in, but he cared for the individuals as well. He was not only worried about an organization or about a particular project or a particular institute. That was there. But he genuinely cared about people's individual health, their individual well-being, financially and otherwise. I saw it over and over again. Not only would he talk about the work of the institute or the work and the logistics around the project, but he would always talk about the individual's concern. How are you? How's the family? Do you need anything? You know, Wana, what really touched me and continues to touch me till today, notwithstanding his seniority, there wasn't a single trip in the last 5 or 6 years that I made to Durban except that Moana featured in some way or the other. He would insist on picking me up from the airport or dropping me off to the airport or taking me out for a meal or picking me up from the hotel and taking me to meet some advertisers or donors for the radio station. And even when I was on holiday, he would insist that he would come to the hotel, he would come to where we were residing, even if I was with family, extended family. He knew that I enjoyed Upper's fish curry. He would make sure, even if I was on holiday, if I could not make it to the house, he would actually go in the early part of the morning, go in and fetch the fish and then have it cooked and bring it and deliver to the door. And I would tell him, Mawlana, subhanAllah, you know, you're taking so much of taklif. We're on holiday, we chilled, we relaxed. You know, you don't need to take so much of taklif. But that was his nature. He genuinely cared about making people more comfortable, about making things a little bit easy for people. My last trip to Durban in November, I remember he called me and he told me we were going to meet at a restaurant for meals on the way to the airport. And he said, must I pick you up from the place where I was? I said, no, we've got a rental car. I'll meet you at the restaurant. And he said, no, I want to pick you up. He insisted. And when he came there, I jumped in the car and I told him, well, why didn't you take the taklif? It's so much, you know, off your route. You should have gone direct to the restaurant. Me together with the other satis from Radio Islam would have met you there. We got a car. He said, no, I wanted to pick you up myself to find out that do you need anything? Do you want to buy something for the wife or the children on the way before you go to the airport? That was Maulana's nature, you know. He could de-stress you with his colorful banter, with his jolly nature. He could give you superb advice because of his deep wisdom and experience. And he genuinely cared. He genuinely cared about whoever he came in contact with. I could see the flicker on his face when he was in England. In 2018, I think it was, when I met him there, when he came to take care of the affairs of his late brother, who was totally bedridden, and Moana had made a number of trips to England. He was a person, and I'll conclude on this, he was full of energy and full of restlessness, but for the right causes. Not in pursuit of dunya, but he was always energetic about helping people, about particular projects, about getting programs organized. And, you know, what I really miss is the phone calls. Moana would phone me on average 2 to 3 times a week. And if there was a particular program that was being coordinated or a project that you know, he was giving input on, then he would phone 2-3 times a day. That was the level of energy and that was the level of fikr and concern that he had for the ummah in general and especially for the ulama fraternity and for religious institutes. There's a lot more that we can say, Moana, but I know you've got many others who have longer relationships that will want to shed light and the family would want to continue with their perspective. So I'll suffice on that. But let me just take this opportunity once again to offer my condolences on behalf of Radio Islam and myself personally to the entire family and to all those that Maulana had touched. And really, he's left a void for us at Radio Islam and for me personally that will take very long to fill. And he's left a deep, deep impression. May Allah fill his qabr with nur and grant him the highest abode in Jannat al-Firdaus. And let the barakah of all of his sincerity and his efforts continue to flow through his generations up to the day of Qiyamah.
JazakAllah so much for that, Maulana. Much, much appreciated. We have quite a few messages coming in. Maulana Abdullah Khan says, Maulana Shabir was my cousin. His mom was my mom's elder sister. They enjoyed a wonderful relationship. We still have an aunt who's alive. We call her Choti Kara. She's about 84 years old. She does not have any children. Maulana Shabir Qazi was, in inverted commas, her son, who took care of all her affairs. He took her for Umrah on several occasions, enjoyed a very close relationship with the family. He showed concern and willingness to assist in any situation. Mashabir Qazi served the Jamiatul Ulama, KZN, as a treasurer for almost 15 years. and he conducted various programs under the leadership of Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib, Rahmatullahi Alayh. Another message coming in, Maulana Shabir was my first cousin, but more a brother. I performed Taraweeh some 40 years ago in the North Coast for a few years with him. His reading was absolutely melodious, similar to Qari Ayyub, subhanAllah. Despite the long distance from Durban Central, his love for the Quran drove him wherever he was called. He was definitely the leader of the time. I endorse what Mawlana Suleiman Rabat has said. That's Brother Zain Fakhruddin from Durban as well. We have on the line now with us Mawlana Ibrahim Baam, the Secretary General of the Jamiat al Ulama. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum. Mawlana Ibrahim, assalamu alaikum. The call is dropped. So we're going to take Mawlana Ibrahim Baam, and thereafter, inshallah, we're going to take Mufti Zubair Bayyatab, Damat Barakatuhum, both of them senior ulama who have interacted with Hazrat Mawlana Shabir Qadhi Sahib, Rahmatullahi Alayh. We're just waiting for our engineer to get Mawlana Ibrahim Baam. And as the messages are coming in, please do send them in. We would really like to get the information about Mawlana Shabir Qadhi Sahib. So if you need anything, the number to dial is 071-878-9748. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum.
Hello.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah, Mawlana, for taking out your time this evening. A very close colleague of yours, someone who you had very, very informal relationship, Hazrat Mawlana Shabir Qadhi Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi. Some of your interactions and some of your tributes to Mawlana this evening.
Yes, Jazakallah, Mawlana. Mawlana Shabir Qadhi came into our life in a very amazing way. This morning, we were discussing it when we went to go and visit the family and colleagues of another very great colleague of ours, Hazrat Mufti Yaqub Minti Sahib, and on the way we were talking about Mawlana Shabir Qadhi. Mawlana Shabir Qadhi started off his early studies in Falahe Tahrir in Peshawar. Towards the last 2 years, he decided to come to Karachi to complete his studies in Jamiatul Ulum al-Islamiyah in Karachi. And when he came, obviously when he came, being a fellow South African, we started interacting with him and we got him settled. Now, our madrasa was very strict in terms of admission. So he always used to recall this with great fondness that Mawlana Misbahullah Shah Sahib, one of our ustads of hadith, took his examination and his entrance examination into Binuri town. And he said Mawlana gave him a very, very rough type of examination before he was admitted. Now, since the time he was admitted, the last 2 years of my studies, Mawlana was my colleague. He came into Mishkat and Dora, and we were together in the same class. It was myself, people like myself, Mawlana Salim Karim, Mawlana Abdullah Bamji, Mawlana Abdul Qadir from Kiliman, who just recently passed on, and may Allah ta'ala fill his cover also with Noor. So we were amongst those, Mawlana Imullah from Makkah. We were together in one class, both in Mishkat and in Dora. Mishkat, you used to do with Hazrat Mufti Ahmadur Rahman Sahib, and Mawlana Habibullah Mukhtar used to teach us, and we were extremely close. And we used to do all our, you know, as South African students who normally have a certain type of, I wouldn't say necessarily a bad reputation, but a reputation that together with their studies, they also used to enjoy themselves and take out time for certain types of humor. And that it was so with Hazrat Mawlana Shabir Qadhi. We were completely together in all our studies. The one aspect that was very amazing was when we used to do Bukhari by Hazrat Mufti Wali Hasan Sahib Rahmatullahi. Now, normally, South African students used to eat at a particular time, around about 11:30, 12 o'clock. They used to have a very early breakfast immediately after Fajr, start their classes. Up past 11, 12 o'clock, you have lunch. But because Bukhari Dars used to go on for a longer period of time, By the time we used to finish our dars in Bukhari, the first session, it used to be quite late. The students had already finished eating their lunch. And then we used to, the few Dora students, South African, we used to come and have our lunch. And over that lunch, Ya Allah, we used to sit and we used to go over the lessons and we used to do the way of, you know, we used to with love mimic the way of how Hazrat Mufti Ul Hasan Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh used to say his words, the style, the mode. And that's how we studied right through. There was perhaps not a day in our study life that we didn't have finished our Bukhari at 12, half past 12, and come back, have lunch together. And during the course of the lunch, just go over what Hazrat Mufti Ul Hasan Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh used to tell us. And Mufti Ul Hasan Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh had a very amazing style. Together with his teaching, he also had a very beautiful style in speaking about contemporary issues, speaking about the various things. I recall one aspect of his that in Karachi, and this is just, I'm just speaking about, you know, I'm not going to be very formal, I'm going to be informal.
Just keep it like this, Moana would like that.
Mufti Ul Hasan Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh used to have a very amazing style. He used to sometimes, you know, make a joke in class. He used to have pan. So when he used to have pan, sometimes the pan used to drop onto his kurta. And okay. He used to say that, Deko aaj biwi bahut khafa hoge. The wife is going to get very, very angry today. Look at what's happening. Look at what's happening to me. And then sometimes he used to comment on contemporary issues. In Karachi, when Muhammad Ali used to fight, Karachi used to come to a standstill. Okay. No one used to work. The government used to place TV screens throughout the city, and the entire city used to sit and watch over in the different places around the street corners. They stopped everything and they all watched Muhammad Ali. And then the next day you come to class, and Mufti Ul Hasan Sahab used to say, "Ye bhi ek kisam ki jihad hai." This is what form of the whole world is getting, you know, excited because Muhammad Ali won the fight. You know, at that time there was a certain, you know, attraction with regard to Muhammad Ali, because when he won, the entire Muslim world became happy. And Maulana used to come. And we used to sit and joke and speak about how Mufti Ul Hasan Sahab Rahmatullah Ali used to say this and how he used to say that. And Mufti Ul Hasan Sahab Rahmatullah Ali used to say, "Ye Abdul Razak bhi do kisam ki hai." He said, "This Abdul Razak is also too." You know, Haddathana Abdul Razak comes out in our hadith classes. So you say, yeah, when you say Haddathana Abdul Razak do kisam ki hai. Now you start thinking, what does it mean there are two ways of Abdul Razak? But we had two, the Abdul Razak in our madrasa. One was Dr. Abdul Razak Sahab, who now has become the Muhtamin. And there used to be Abdul Razak, who was a Nazim, who used to be the administrator of the office. So if you had to go and take, you know, any type of, leave, application for leave, we had to go and give it by him. So he was very, very strict. And he was very, very bitter. And he was very, like, strict. And because, I suppose, being an administrator, he had to be like that. So you say, "Ye do Abdul Razak bhi do kisam ki hoti hai. Ek mur aur ek hul." One who is very, very sweet and one who is very, very bitter. The one who is sweet was Dr. Abdul Razak Iskandar. And the one who was rather stern was the Abdul Razak, who was the Nazim of the office. So this type of, you know, just we used to have very, very great academic discussion, and yet at the same time, the discussions that were very, very informal, with, you know, joking with the students. I don't know how much more was I make mention with regard to the dars of Hazrat Mufti Ul Hasan Sahab. We used to love the dars of Mufti Ul Hasan Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh. He used to say, one day he told us, you know, this was the beauty. He says, "I had a lot of love for one Afghani student." His name was my favorite student, but he was weak. So he said, in examination, while I was marking the papers, you know, I became very lenient in the marking of papers. And the reason why I became lenient in the marking of papers, every paper I started thinking, I said, maybe this is Abdul Hakim's paper. Maybe this is Abdul Hakim's paper. So therefore, I became very lenient. So I was extra lenient to the extent that I passed many people that perhaps in a different setting, I might have not passed them. And he said, when the results came, everyone passed, Abdul Hakim failed. So that was another book. And Marshall started myself the entire year. And that particular relationship continued. Myself, Mona Shabir Qazi and Molana Musa Pando, two of whom have passed on. We, after one particular year, it was after, I think it was after our Mishkat, we decided to go to Kashmir. And we went to Kashmir, and we went to Jalalabad. So we went to Hazrat Maulana Masrullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and we told him that we are going to Kashmir. Maulana Masrullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali had a very loving nature. It is so unfortunate that sometimes people have got a different understanding of Maulana Masrullah because of various other reasons. But he was very, very loving. So Maulana Masrullah Sahib told us, he said, I'm so happy people are going to Kashmir. He said, my philosophy is whatever you do, you do the best. And you take the best. You say when you drink water on a hot day, drink nice cold water. So then Alhamdulillah comes out from the very bottom of the heart. So he said, even when you go now to Kashmir, go and see the best of Allah's creation. Look at the scenery, look at the beauty. And then you'll see, inshallah, that Alhamdulillah will come out from your heart. When we went, like students always, you know, students are always struggling for funds. So we went to one particular boathouse and we enjoyed that place. Very beautiful. It was known as Nagina Lake. And in Nagina Lake, we enjoyed it so much. But
Mana, your line is breaking. We can hear you a bit better now, Maulana.
So we went to myself, Maulana Shabir Qazi and Maulana Musa two of whom, may Allah Ta'ala, you know, keep us with afid, two of my satis who were together in us in Kashmir, who have passed on. Nevertheless, when we decided now we're having it, we're coming to a close right. Nagina Lake was away from Dal Lake, which was more place where the tourists used to come. This was a very, you know, a place where there wasn't much of activities. So when we went there, we went to the houseboat person. He said, see, here in this whole area, you don't have any masjid. There's no masjid. We are Hafiz. We are three Hafiz. And because we are Hafiz, we will read Tarawih in your houseboat. We will read Tarawih in your houseboat. But, you know, because of we meet students, for 15 nights, you have to give us free accommodation. Because it's all right. You make Tarawih for 15 nights, free accommodation for 15 nights. So for 15 nights, myself, Mauli Shabir Qazi, and Mauli Musa Pando, we read Tarawih. The people there, we said, Allah Ta'ala reward them. They were not used to Quran recital. And we were trying to do it in such a way that we will recite so much Quran that by the time we reach the village, you know, we will reach towards the second Ashra. We read in such a way that by the time we come, we will be able to make our khatam. So we read a little extra. And though people used to come, but they still find it very difficult to stay for so long. But so we read Tarawih for 15 nights, or 12, 13 nights in Nagina Lake in Kashmir. That's the type of relationship that we had during the time of our student times. And that relationship continued. I can't imagine going to Durban even for a day, even if it was a meeting for a day, for various meetings that we attend, that I could go without phoning Maulana that I'm here and Maulana not making arrangements somewhere along the line, either to come to the place of the meeting or to come take me to the airport or coming to or bringing me from the airport or taking me to the airport. And today that is going to be something that I'm going to miss, and I'm already missing it. Within every now and then, whenever the family in the house, whenever they thought that...
Gee, respected listeners, we have on the air with us Mufti Zubair Saab Bayat. Mufti Saab has been waiting for a while. Really, we are apologetic. The lines have been a little bit troublesome. But Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mufti Saab, I know a very good friend of yours, Hazrat Maulana Shabir Saab, rahmatullahi alayh. How is your ta'alluq and your relationship with Maulana?
Gee, Maulana, this is such a long chapter that we can go on for a very long time, but obviously the time is limited, so I'm going to try and keep it as briefly as possible. Hazrat Maulana became a friend of mine, I'll say almost by chance. It so happened that when I was in Stanger, Maulana used to visit his Harubai, Marhum Farooq Kolia, who was my neighbor.
Okay.
He used to live right next door,
And Maulana used to come and visit his Harubai from time to time. And when he used to come there, obviously he used to be standing around and just, you know, I used to call him. I used to say, Maulana, come sit with me. And he used to come and sit at my house. And that is my very first real encounters with Maulana. And from that, the relationship, alhamdulillah, grew and blossomed into such a friendship that I would say is he was more than a brother to me. He was more than a brother to me. Subsequently, we used to meet a lot. We used to visit from time to time. And then, alhamdulillah, we worked together in the Jamiatul Ulama KZN for many years. At that time, Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah Ali was alive. He was the president of the Jamiat. Maulana Ahmad Umar, may Allah grant him good health and long life. His wife passed away last week. Allah grant her Maghfirat Bay Hisab. Maulana Ahmad Umar Sahab was the treasurer of the Jamiat. And Maulana Yunus Osman was the secretary of the Jamiat. May Allah spare these elders and give them good health and long life.
Ameen, ameen.
And Maulana Shabir Qazi Rahmatullah Ali was like an assistant treasurer to Maulana Ahmad Umar. And I was like an assistant secretary to Maulana Yunus Osman. So this is how five of us, we used to be always together. And always at Jamiat meetings, every week we used to be at the Jamiat offices on Wednesday morning. Hazrat Maulana Patel Rahmatullah Ali used to come and these ulama used to come. And the meetings used to take place and all matters of the Jamiat used to be attended to. So from that time, our relationship became even stronger, alhamdulillah. And then after the Maulana Patel Rahmatullah Ali left the Jamiat, then Maulana Harun Sahab Rahmatullah Ali became the president. And under Maulana Harun Sahab, Maulana Shabir Sahab then became the treasurer of the Jamiat. And I was the secretary of the Jamiat. And so we had this working relationship that went back many years. Later, alhamdulillah, our relationship still continued, although we had now gone to different paths. But the friendship was always there to such an extent that there was hardly a day that would go past when we would not be speaking on the phone. And I can say without exaggeration, Maulana, our phone calls were an hour, or maybe more than an hour, on a general basis. Of course, we would also meet very frequently, every day, every second day, third day, we would be meeting. And what can I say, Allahu Akbar? There were so many wonderful moments. Not only did we meet here in Durban, we also then traveled a lot together. I traveled with Maulana locally to many, many places, alhamdulillah, to Johannesburg very frequently. We also made safar together for Hajj. We did one whole Hajj together from beginning to end. What a wonderful experience it was, alhamdulillah. May Allah Rabbul Izzat accept it. And grant us that Hajj Maqbool and Mabroor, because of which is a ticket and passport into Jannah. We've been on Umrah together. We've traveled to India together. We've made safar to India. We spent time with the... we went to Dubai and to India. We met many ulama in all over India, in Gujarat, in UP, in Delhi, and so on. So it was not just, knowing Maulana as a person that I used to meet, but he was a person we traveled together. And if you really want to know a person, you must know a person when you have traveled. And I can say without a shadow of doubt that Maulana was a person that on the surface he appeared to be a very jovial and jolly and jokey person. But inside, deep inside, he had a heart that was filled with, taqwa, a heart that was filled with ikhlas and sincerity. He was a person of a lot of tawazu and humility, and he was a person who had great love and fikr and concern generally for the ummah, and particularly for the ulama, and also for the poor and the needy people. These are some of this. I'm sure already over this hour, a lot has already been mentioned about Maulana, and I don't want to repeat a lot of what has been said. But this was, I think, an outstanding, amongst the fact that he was also a person who was the Ashiq al-Quran, and he was Ashiq al-Haramain, and his, you know, all his other good deeds. But this one thing stands out. Maulana was a pillar of support, even for the family. We always find one live wire in a family. And Maulana used to make speaker for his aunties and his cousins and relatives, his brother, his late brother in UK. Maulana made so many safars to UK just to help him out with all his paperwork and whatever was necessary and all of that. Maulana left all his own work. He left his family. He made these safars to UK just to make sure that his brother was comfortable, his brother was okay. I mean, this is a sign of somebody who is not just lip service for the family, that, no, yeah, my family, I love my family. Maulana was an example, by practical example, of how he cared for the family. He took care of family people. He took care of their needs. He always thought to their well-being and so on. And, of course, when it came to the poor also, Maulana would support and assist poor people in his capacity wherever he could. And what was also very outstanding was his concern for the ulama. He knew the value of ulama. He knew the difficulties of ulama. He knew there are many ulama who are just battling and struggling to make ends meet. And Maulana would go out of his way to try and help the ulama that were in difficulty, arranging here, arranging there. Recently, one young alim, well, for whatever reason, he was asked to leave his employment. Maulana was so concerned, without a shadow of doubt, he phoned me more than a dozen times. Hey, Mufti Sahab, man, sort out something, man. Sort it out, man. Organize it. You know, he had that style of...
He had that way of speaking, Mufti Sahab.
Hey, what a way he had of speaking, Maulana. And nobody took offense because they knew he was saying it with a lot of love and sincerity. And... you know, I told him, don't worry, Hazrat, I'll attend to you. No, make sure you get it done, eh? So, alhamdulillah, this was one amazing quality. His concern for ulama, their well-being. Because he knew that the ulama are the real drivers of the ummah. And if the drivers are going to be starved, then how are they going to drive the vehicle of the ummah? One friend of ours, he's a motor mechanic, mashallah, good brother of friend. He mentioned to me that Maulana used to give him lump sums and used to leave it by him and used to say, look, any alim comes to have his car repaired, you cover the cost from this fund and don't charge that alim.
Subhanallah.
And his brother was telling me that just 2 weeks before Maulana passed away, he went and finalized all the outstanding accounts and whatever it was and paid him off for whatever was being owed to him. Subhanallah. Where do you find something like this? That he actually used to go and leave money there. The alim wouldn't even know who's giving this thing. He wouldn't even know that his charges have been covered. But in this way, Maulana would make sure that, you know, the little khidmat for ulama, that they're struggling, at least they have a vehicle that is roadworthy, they can drive around with it, and they'll go and do khidmat of deen, all that sawab. So may Allah Ta'ala take all of this and put it in
Ameen.
His Mizan-e Hasanat and his scale of good deeds on Yawm al-Qiyamah. In fact, very recently, Maulana also launched, which he was referring to as the Future Fund. And this was meant to assist and help ulama and people in the line of deen, muazzins and imams and muallims and muallimas and so on. May Allah Ta'ala make this a great sadqa jariyah for him. We are indeed at loss, Maulana. We are at a great loss here in Durban. You know, what can I say? Just the thought of Maulana and a sense of sadness and grief overtakes a person's heart. We go to the Qabristan, the Hilal Qabristan. Maulana is buried there. And you can sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him some kind of a status in that Qabristan. A person's heart is drawn and pulled towards his Qabr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his infinite mercy and grace, raise his stages in the akhirah.
Ameen, ameen.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him complete maghfirah.
Allah ta'ala ameen.
Accept all his a'mal as-saliha. And Allah ta'ala convert his a'mal as-sayyi'ah into a'mal as-saliha. Badil sayyi'atihi hasanat.
Ameen.
Allah Rabbul Izzat must grant some jameel to his family, his children. Allah Rabbul Izzat be their guardian and protector. Like how he was the guardian and protector of so many people, Allah be their guardian and protector. And definitely, when we do for people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look after us and he will do for us.
Mufti Saab, on our side, Durban has lost so many ulama, family, sulaha, all of those things. Really, Allah ta'ala grant you ni'am al-badal. And Allah Ta'ala make it easy for everyone that is going through any sort of challenges.
Ameen, Maulana. Yes, you are quite right. You know, I was just counting around Maulana's cover. I've just, you know, there's a number of ulama buried there.
Allah.
Most recently, Maulana Hanta Saab, his cover is quite close by. Maulana Boga Saab, Maulana himself, other ulama around there. Then also a number of doctors, about 5 or 6 doctors. This next to Maulana's cover is a cover of Dr. Amla, the father of Hashim Amla. At his feet side is Dr. Zakaria Mullah, Dr. Jadwa, Dr. Umar, Dr. I'm just forgetting one, two of the names, Dr. Timon. Just in that area around, 5, 6 doctors, ulama, prominent businessman. Indeed, that has been a very, very trying time, and it is a trying time for the community of Durban. We have lost a lot of gems. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Maulana Muqtisab said, that you know what, may Allah ta'ala give ni'am al-badal, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their place bring those who will continue to do the good work of deen.
Ameen,
ameen. Yesterday was the news of the demise of Dr. Professor Abdus Salam Karan.
What a gem
of a person. There's a real example for the professionals of this ummah. Somebody who was, mashallah, Hafizul Quran, par excellence, and a professional, highly qualified in his field, a professor in his field. You know, the dean of his faculty. It goes to show that, you know, you can very well combine, and also running his own his classes too at the same time. You can combine both streams, and you can become a combination like what they call Jamia personality. So it's really very heartbreaking and sad, the demise of a person like Professor Hafiz Abdus Salam Karan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant his family,
ameen, ameen.
His dear brother, dear friend of ours, Maulana Taha Karan, Hafizullah, and his mother, and all his family, and his wife and children, all of them, Allah ta'ala grant them sabr jameel.
Ameen,
and inshallah.
That was Mufti Zubair Bayat, speaking of Maulana Shabir Qadi.